of Irish ancestry. She was in Melbourne at the beginning of last month to coincide with the release of her third album of songs entitled Celtic Treasure. This follows two other CDs which had great success in New Zealand, Australia, the UK and Japan. 3MBS was there for her only Melbourne appearance at Readings in Hawthorne, where she performed live in front of a large and enthusiastic audience and spoke with our own Julie Horton. Thank you to our recording engineer John Smythe for producing this recording.
I might say very sympathetically accompanied by Simon Hosford, because a singer is one part of the equation, but a good accompanist is worth his weight in gold. So thank you very much, Simon.
I agree completely. Thank you, Simon.
Now, Hayley, you've done so much, yet you're still so young, so I'd like to take you back to how you started singing, because you hadn't even reached double digits at that point.
Yeah, well, my first kind of experience of performing up on stage was when I was 6 years old, and it was my Christmas school play, and I was invited to, selected to sing a solo, played the part of the Littlest Star in the production called The Littlest Star. And my parents got such a huge shock, as you can imagine, because they had no idea that my singing voice was anything special. And when they opened up the program and it said The Littlest Star, Hayley Westerner, they got quite a thrill, and they heard my soul, and apparently my mum cried, and it's all very emotional. but anyway, I've been singing since then, and going in musicals, and I did go busking, as you probably...
The busking story is fascinating because the way I read it, that your first busking experience was actually born out of hunger and wanting a decent lunch that day, which makes you sound like a little Oliver Twist, but it wasn't quite like
that. Yeah, I guess it doesn't. But there was a group of us friends and we were part of a choir. We were putting on a performance as part of this festival. And along came lunchtime and some of us didn't have any lunch money, so we decided that... just for fun, we'd go out. Well, no, actually it was. We were hungry. We thought we'd try our luck at busking. And we did very well, and that kind of inspired me to go out on my own on my weekends. And I just really enjoyed the whole the challenge of trying to stop people in their tracks and build a crowd and keep the crowd as well, keep their attention.
And what did you get for lunch that day?
I can't remember, but I'm sure it was really good.
Well, there's a big jump from busking to get a nice lunch to a recording contract. So fill in the intervening steps for us.
Sure. Well, I went out busking and I was saving up my money. When I went out busking, I'd alternate between singing and playing my violin. And I was saving up for a full-size violin. And I kind of realised that I should probably... kind of reconsider that whole idea when the numbers would sort of dwindle when I picked up my violin. And I mean, I was okay, but obviously not that great. And so I ended up putting the money towards making a recording of my voice. And this recording, one thing led on to another, and the recording ended up in the hands of Universal Music New Zealand. We'd sent some copies out to some real companies, and they'd listened to it and decided to fly me up to record my album, actually, before they'd even met me, which is...
And you were all about 15 at this stage, weren't
you? Actually, I was 13 at this stage.
Goodness.
Yeah,
me.
So I released two albums in New Zealand before signing to Decca Records, which is based in London, and they helped me release my first international album, Pure.
Well, you had to move from New Zealand to London while still a teenager. Now, that's an enormous move. How did you cope with that?
Initially when I first went over to London, I was lucky enough to have my mum with me, so it wasn't that huge a sort of upheaval. She was still cooking meals for me and everything, but the last year and a half I've spent flatting by myself and having to, work out how to pay the bills on time and work out how to use the washing machine, and it's been a nightmare, let me tell you. But I've definitely grown a lot.
And one of the things you do, which I'm not sure whether everyone would know, is that I think you're the youngest UNICEF ambassador. So tell me about that.
Yes. For the last 4 or so years, I've been a global ambassador for UNICEF. And I've been, for the last couple of years, a couple of years ago, I went to Ghana. And as you can imagine, it was a pretty eye-opening experience. And I left the country really motivated just to do something about the situation and just do something. And I started this project raising money to provide bicycles for girls in Ghana to help them get to school. And we've been really successful. We've gone over our target of 6,000 bicycles.
Well, it's a wonderful new album, and it's an interesting album because it is such an eclectic mix. And one in particular, when I looked at it and I thought, she's doing One Fine Day, my goodness, she's brave, so many people have. But when I listened to it, this is a really refreshing interpretation, and I was interested to hear that you allude to the great Kathleen Ferrier bringing a folk song approach in some ways to this sort of aria. It really does work beautifully. What made you want to do it?
Well, it's a song my nana used to sing, and I was really keen to... It's a beautiful song, it's with a very haunting melody, and I decided that I'd do it in my own way, really, and I wanted to include it on the album, and to make it fit, I decided we'd kind of do it in more of just a song style as opposed to an aria style. And so the guitar is mainly based... the arrangement's mainly based around guitar, and I'm singing it mainly in English as well, so it's very much a storytelling affair.
It's quite ethereal. It's a really lovely interpretation, so I congratulate you on that. Now, you're off to LA tomorrow to sing with the other ladies. Tell us about that.
Yes, Celtic Woman. I filmed this TV special with them last year over in Dublin, and they had a very successful TV special which was broadcast on the PBS channel in the States a number of times. And So I joined them as a guest artist for their follow-up TV special, and now I've toured with them in March all around. We had like two nights at Radio City, which is in New York, which is fantastic, and visited the White House, kicking off St. Patrick's Day celebrations. And yes, I'm joining them in LA. We've got a concert at the Greek Theatre and shows in San Francisco, Seattle, all around the country. And then I'm back to the UK for a lot of summer concerts and a lot of shows in June, July. And I think I'm there, actually, I'm probably going to be in the UK to about Christmas time, really.
Well, I hope you're keeping a good scrapbook, because this is all going to make excellent reading one day when, like, you're at your grandmother's knee, when you've got your grandchildren at your knee, you can mm-hmm. keep them quiet with all these wonderful scrapbooks of the things that you've done, because I think there's going to be a lot more years of you, Hayley, for us to enjoy.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Hayley Westenra with Scarborough Fair, and that's from her new release, Celtic Treasure. And we heard Julie Horton talking to Hayley Westenra at Readings in Hawthorne at her only Melbourne appearance. And Julie Horton was chatting to her there, and thanks to John Smythe, who produced that interview for us.